It's gonna be good.
Beautiful people, it's me, Jenny D from Spill With Me, Jenny D podcast. I am here at Tata Twos. Andrea, oh my gosh, I love Andrea. She lets us come here and we get to enjoy this place, right? So I have my guest here, Tawanda. And Tawanda and I met at, it was like Meet the Authors. And I thought, I saw this beautiful soul and I was like, I need to know her. And she actually, Tawanda, tell how we met. You actually talked to my mom first.
Yeah, I talked to her mom. Well, she is absolutely amazing. We were over to talk for like 20 minutes and it was towards the end and we just kept talking and you were cleaning up, but we just continued to talk. And it was almost like me and your mom knew each other.
Yes.
Like we met before, but right? We never met, but it just felt like I knew her.
She loves it. She loves what I'm doing because we are part of this community as women and we need to be there for each other and to share each other's stories. And I thought, I know she has an amazing story and I can't wait for you to listen to it. So with further ado, honey, tell us, like, what is your title? Like, where, you know, we'll come from, like, where you came from and everything, but what do you do right now?
Right now, I'm a salon business owner. I'm my own travel business. I also into women empowerment, and I also do financial literacy.
I mean, how do you do all that?
You balance. You learn how to balance. You have a schedule and a calendar, and you stick to your calendar and your schedule.
I mean, this is a lot. So now take us back. When you were younger, is this something you've always wanted to do, is to be like an owner of a salon?
Yes. Yes, I was 12 years old, and I used to do here in my mom's laundry room. I used to have clients every Saturday. I don't even know how they trusted me with their hair. Like, it was absolutely amazing. And I still do some of my original people from when I was 12.
You're kidding me. Yes. Well, because they trust you. Mm-hmm. When you do hair, people trust you with their hair, you know? And then you do all women at your salon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. All women. I love just, it's ministry, not just hair.
Yes. Tell me about that.
Well, I'm a minister of the gospel and I love ministering to my clients. We listen to Christian music. We just enjoy one another and it's just a safe environment for women.
Yes, I love that. Why did that start? Was there something that maybe happened to you or did you just know like a calling of God that this is what you need to do?
It was a calling. Definitely when I moved into my own salon, I really wanted to have something intimate for my clients. And he said, no men, just women in this ministry.
Yes. And what is it called, honey?
The Creative Look Salon.
The Creative Look Salon. Where is that located?
It's located in Penn Hills on Frankstown Road in Pittsburgh.
So if anybody could call you and they could set up an appointment,
yes,
that would be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so tell us what else you do.
My travel business came right at the beginning of COVID, January 2020. I had just started. One of my clients was an avid traveler. She loved, loved, loved to travel. She'd been all over the world. So I'm watching her like, how are you doing? And she owns her own daycare. And she said, oh, I have my own travel business. I said, well, tell me more. And she did. And I signed up while she was under the trier.
Oh, you're kidding.
At the salon, didn't see a video or anything.
But I'm thinking to myself, how are you doing all of that? Like, how are you owning a salon? And now you, during COVID, you're like, okay, I'm going to own another business. Like, to me, I feel like that's a lot. But you knew that this is something you wanted to do. Now, why did you do the travel?
The travel was the residual. So now I make money in my sleep. So when I'm not busy, I did lose a lot of clients during COVID, a lot, probably about 18 people. Because my clientele is a lot of seniors. So the travel business is making a residual. I'm booking travel, but it has other streams that I make money in my sleep now.
Oh, okay. See, now I like that. So I feel like that you know, like, why were you at Meet the Authors? Why were you at that event where we met? Like, what
God has been calling me to write my book.
Oh.
So I wanted to go there to meet some of the woman authors just to see what type of book. And I think it's an autobiography about myself and about my story. Because some women, a lot of women probably need to hear the story.
Yes. Do you want to share a little bit of that story?
I think just my walk and how I got called to the gospel and my ministry, administering to women and empowering them. I love to empower women.
Yeah.
Tell them that they're beautiful, that they're amazing, to let them, to make them feel safe and secure, that they can trust me with their secrets. Because being a hairstylist, we're almost like a psychiatrist.
You really
so
are.
I
you
want really them to are. Trust me. So when they drop something with me, I pray for them. I, you know, help them understand. And, you know, what God gives me, that I give them insight, and they're old and young.
Oh, yeah. See, now the private conversations you have with, you know, your hairdresser, it's, you become like, you look forward to seeing that person because that person is very neutral. You know, they're there. They want to make you look beautiful and they want your soul. You want to leave there feeling not only like your appearance feeling beautiful, but inside and out. And I do feel that there's a way that we need to empower each other. And I love that. Now, how do you get empowered though? Like how?
I just came back from a woman's summit. I met the bishop of all the AME churches. It was absolutely amazing. I got to take a picture with her. So I was super excited.
Oh,
I said, "Go on, can I just get one picture with her?" And I know she's
what
busy.
Is her name?
Bishop Vashti McKenzie.
Okay,
she's over all the AME churches. She's the head person of all over the world.
All over the world.
Yes.
And wait, what kind of churches are these?
AME.
What's
African.
AME? Okay.
Methodist.
African and Methodist. Okay.
That's that denomination.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Okay. See, I didn't know that. When, you know, when I saw your post, I was like, wow, this is really interesting. Like you're meeting new people. So now you've got yourself out there and you're kind of sharing a little bit of your story about how you have come to be not only a business owner with, you know, empowering others, but you're also doing your ministry to empower others.
Yes. Yes.
And what do you find like with the gratitude with the ministry? Like, what do you find that's just so,
I think it's just being around other women. Just when I went to the summit, I met people from Ghana, South Africa, all over the world. And I was supposed to be there to get poured into. So when I get back, I can pour out.
Yeah.
We have to be refueled as ministers. And if you don't get refueled, then you'll be empty. So when you're getting out empty, then how are you going to help somebody else if you're empty? So I had to be poured into so I can pour out to my clients and other women.
I love that because did you feel like that women need just like, you know, a lot of times, like as we get older, and I know I found, you know, God again. And not that I dismissed, but I was just so busy with raising my kids and doing all these things that I was, church can wait. Church will always be there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, as I get older, I feel like I need that in my life. And I don't know if it's, you know, you're seeing your life differently and mm-hmm. you want to really like have something to pray for. And I do feel like that there is a coming of like life that have you met now when these women you met from other places.
Yes.
What was their messages? Like how did you get your fuel?
We did classes on woman empowerment, leadership, and how to brand yourself on Facebook and social media. That was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun learning how to do that. I do have a little bit of branding, but I'm still trying to find my little niche. Because, you know, you want to be just a little different than somebody else.
Right.
So that was the fun class.
I love it. So it was the summit was all about it, classes and about meeting new people
mm-hmm.
and just kind of like recharging yourself.
Yes.
You know, being on and being around women that are doing the same type of things
mm-hmm.
really kind of brings you guys together, like as a community and as like, hey, we're here to empower each other. You know, and I just feel like with, you know, your story that, my gosh, is you do so much. You really do. Now, do you ever have a day where you're just like, how can I do this? Or how do I get up? I mean, when you talk about sharing your story, is there a story that kind of makes you think, all right, I'm not going to be that person back then?
Looking back, I wouldn't change any of it. All the pitfalls, all the uphill climbs, all the good days, they outweigh all the bad days. Everything was a learning experience for me. So I used to say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have did it. Now I say, I'm glad I did it because I learned more about me, being a woman, a wife, a mother, a Gigi. Right. It helped me be a better helper to other women. It helped me be a better leader, a better servant. So and it's more well-rounded. Don't take your bad days as, my goodness, take that as fuel to push through so to get you to better days.
That is so true. That message is so great because, you know, we, as women, we put a lot of responsibilities on ourselves. Like, oh, we got to be the best wife, the best mother, mm-hmm. the best, you know, friend, the best. And, you know, we do have those days and we go through life and we don't want people to see that. So mm-hmm. we put this face on when we're in public. And why I love, that's what I love about, you know, doing this podcast and meeting people like you, because I say, you know what? Listen, we're going to have those days, mm-hmm. but if we can help empower other people, and then sometimes does that make you, when you're fueling somebody else, does that make you feel like, wow, I feel gratification mm-hmm. because I've helped somebody else?
Yes. Yes. All day long. Anytime I'm out, I ask God to give me people that I'm supposed to connect with. Every day. You're not supposed to connect with everybody, but I want my assignment to be clear when I'm out. So like your mom, she was an assignment for me. She poured into me where I needed to be poured into that day.
Yeah.
So I was so thankful to meet her, and the words that she spoke to me was like life changing.
Yes.
You don't know. God gave her something to give me that day. And when I left, I said, I can't believe I met this beautiful lady. And he said, that was part of her assignment. She didn't know, but I know.
You walk into a room and you don't know who you're going to meet. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you're going to gravitate towards. And that's, to me, is that's the fun part of it. And you do. There's people that you open up to because you feel, and she probably felt so comfortable with you. And I think she's got to that age too, mm-hmm. where she's like, you know what? This is who I am. This is where I came from. She was a single mom, you know, raised my brother and I, and she is now happily married. It's taken her a long time to get where she wants to be, but she's living her life. Mm-hmm. And to be able to stand up, because I think that generation, you weren't allowed to talk about stuff.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you were upset or you were depressed or things were happening, you can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why was that like that?
I don't know. But that's why a lot of marriages were broken, because you were not allowed to say anything. Now women are speaking out more. They're unhappy. They're like, I want a divorce. I want to, right. Because you want to make sure you're happy. Because if you're not happy, the kids aren't happy. And if the house is not happy, because we create the atmosphere, the women.
Right.
We create all of that atmosphere.
Yes.
As women. Men are the workers. They till the ground. They bring the check in. But we create that. So if the atmosphere is disrupted by us being off kilter, then the house is off. The kids are off. Everything, even the dog will be off. Everything will be off because we're off. That's why you have to keep in tune with God, in tune with your relationship with Him. And then that way He can replenish you. Like right now, I'm being replenished as we're talking.
Yes, I feel like I am too, because mm-hmm. I'm learning from you, because I do, you know, I do shut myself down. Sometimes I just don't want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I used to sweep things under the rug, like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Let's just sweep it. But now I'm like, why not? If I'm upset about something or there's something I want to talk about, mm-hmm. friend, family, whoever, I want to talk about it now.
Yes.
Like, I don't, you know, I don't understand. I think COVID, I don't know if this is what happened with you. I feel like that COVID has really taken me to that other place mm-hmm. of myself to know, you know what? You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know how long you're going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So you either got to make the most of it and just be true to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Love yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's what COVID did with me. When I was at home, no work for 3 months. Hair salons were the last ones to open. And I did not touch anybody for 3 months. God told me, stand still, be patient. 3 months of no income, God provided. I didn't miss any bills, no meals, no nothing. But in that, I learned about me, about my relationship with Him, and how I'm supposed to move, moving forward towards doing full-time ministry. towards helping other women, empowering other women. Some women need a chance to see that financial freedom is achievable.
Yeah.
And the travel business can do that.
Yeah.
It definitely can do that. The financial literacy is just helping them to, let me show you how to help you yourself by saving money, investing money, and let me show you how you can grow that money. But
right.
All of that goes hand in hand.
How did you learn all that though?
It just, the assignment. It was just part of the assignment.
It was part of the assignment. Because I was going to say, when you say financial literacy, are you helping women who are from another country that maybe don't speak English? Or are you helping people that...
Anybody. Anybody that's assigned to me.
Yes.
I help women, teach them about financial literacy, investments, annuities, IULs, how to invest their money, how to grow their money. If they have children, we have children that don't even have life insurance. So that's, you know, we want to be able to help empower them so they can say, even if you get a little policy, get something.
Something. Because something. I do feel like, you know, I don't know where to put my water. I do feel like that we, you know, I if something should happen, this is terrible, to my husband, I really don't know. I need to be more on top of that. And I think that my generation, I stayed in home. I worked part-time with my kids. And I really never, I was like, he'll take care of that. I don't need to know. But now I'm like, wait a minute. I mean, I woke up during COVID. I woke up, and that's why I started this, because I'm like, I need something for me. I, like you said, I need that passion of sharing people, have this platform, share people's stories and life experiences, because there's somebody out there right now, Tawanda, that's saying, hey, that's my story.
Yes.
Or, hey, she can help me. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute. I'm going to call her. I live in the Penn Hills area. I feel like I can call her and ask for help. You know, I mean, do you have that women that call on you, or is there a way that they can get a hold of you? Or
the best way is to go to my Facebook page. I have a couple platforms there.
Yeah.
A link tree there. You can click on that. And then my email.
I'll put all that at the end of it.
Yes. My email and phone number. That's the best way to get to me.
So you find yourself, like when you went to meet the authors and you were listening to people writing their books and their biographies, did you say, I want to do that.
Yes, definitely. I need to do that.
Yeah.
Because the story needs to be told from how I got called into the ministry doing hair. I've been ministering to women since I was 12. Right. I didn't even realize it till one day I was talking to my mentor, and she's the one who I work with the summit, Sisters Saving Ourselves Now Ministry. And when she said it's time for us to talk, and I'm like, okay. And I said, I think I'm called. And she was like, oh, you've been called. You're just now realizing.
No way, she knew.
I did a lot of pastors' wives and pastors and first lady. A lot of my clients were church members. So in my mind, I'm like, I didn't realize it until you realize it.
Yes.
And I almost kind of stepped back and looked at my life.
Right.
That's what I did.
You didn't know how powerful you were.
No,
and how much you were helping other people.
No, I didn't.
Just by talking to them, just by doing their hair and just having a conversation, you made them feel so comfortable enough. And you didn't even realize that was, you were already doing what your calling was.
You know, when you think you're young, I was so young doing hair. So I'm like, and they're older than me, they're wiser than me. But they were telling me, now you helped me out so much. Sometimes I would pray for them, we would cry together. Yeah. It was just ministry.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, so many women I've talked to about ministry, and I feel like there might be somebody out there, like the younger audience, that don't really understand about ministry. Can you explain a little bit about that? Like when you say you have a calling and ministry, you know, a lot of people are like, well, what does that mean? So if you could explain that a little bit.
To me, what it meant, I was young. I got saved at 19. I always went to church when I was younger, like Easter, Christmas, stuff like that. But 19, I accepted my call. And when God called me, it was like I knew it was time for me to change.
Mm-hmm.
It was something in me that I needed to change with me at 19. And once I got saved and started living the life that God called us to in the Bible, living the right way, you know, treating people right, just living right, doing people the way you want to be done, and just treating others right.
Right.
And years later, I accepted my call, but my pastor, when he married me and my husband, he told me that he saw the call on my life when he was giving me my vows, because two pastors married us. My husband's pastor did his vows. My pastor did my vows.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I already saw it on you. And when I went to tell him, he was just like, I fought it. I didn't want it. Because I just said, well, I'll help in church. I sung in the choir. I sure trustee. Right. I'll count the money. I'll clean the bathroom.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
I'll help in the kitchen.
Right. You know, you'll do all the other stuff.
I didn't want, like, I mean, I didn't want to be in the pulpit, but God called me to that. He called me.
Yeah. And it's, when did you realize that, okay, this is what I need?
It was right after we got married.
Were you young when you got married?
I was 28.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good age, yeah.
And my husband's 5 years older, so when I moved into my first salon 6 months later, like I moved into a salon with no money.
None. You're like, now I'm going for it.
Yeah, God told me he had me.
Yeah.
He sent a prophet to tell me that God said go.
It's a risk.
Yeah, and I was just like, I'm not sure if my clients are going to come from another salon.
Right.
And when I left, 6 months later, I was debt free, had no bills, no money that I owed on furniture, nothing. And he said, it's time. And I'm like, time for what? He's like, it's time for you to step out.
Yes.
And be different. And that's what I did.
And he told you that.
Yeah. He told me it's time. And he said, and you can't say no to me because of how I just blessed you.
Yes, that's true. It is true. Because you were blessed 6 months later. Here you were thriving and you didn't know the unknown. So you had that, not even knowing you had, he had your back the whole time.
No.
So now you're with your ministry, you're going to have other people's back.
Yes.
Is that how you do? Love that. See, that's something that I feel like a lot of people don't know about. That, you know, people are like, oh, I don't, religion, blah, I don't want to talk about it, you know, or whatever they were raised or, you know, I think that it's something different for everyone, and it's not for everyone, but it's nice to believe in something, you know, and to believe in each other, because if we don't, then what do we have?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. We need that belief. We definitely do. That's why the world is the way it says. It's just crazy now.
Yes.
Because people are losing hope and they're losing their faith because it's so much. Especially with women, we carry so much on us. Husbands, kids, jobs, juggling everything,
right.
Cooking dinner, and
yes.
You know, helping with schoolwork. It's a lot.
And
if you don't have some type of center, right. Then you'll lose your way.
With, you know, your significant other, you should have a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, people can do it all on their own. I mean, it doesn't matter. But as long as you're happy.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel that not overwhelmed, because I know I felt overwhelmed trying to do everything and trying to be this perfect mom. And I was like, this isn't who I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. COVID taught me to make sure I'm happy.
Yes.
That's what it taught me.
You know what? The the worst part is I didn't want to put myself first.
Mm-hmm. That was me for years.
Right?
For years.
That was me too.
For years. Now I make sure Tawanda's happy.
Yes.
And make sure I'm centered, I'm settled, I'm focused.
Yep.
Cause if I'm not happy, the atmosphere has shifted, even in the salon.
Yeah.
Like I play Christian music. So when they come in, I create an atmosphere that God can dwell and sit
yes.
there. And sometimes people under the dryer, they might start crying. They need prayer because they need something from him. And sometimes when they come in, they're like, I'm so glad I got my hair done today. We enjoyed each other. You know, it could be just a word or a song could just help.
Oh, I know. That does. And that affected me too. And I think that it's true when you hear, you know, that day, it might just be that day that you have to hear that. When you have to have that person like you in their life to say, hey, you're okay. You're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you have faith and you have love for yourself and you know that you can have better days, I feel like that's going to be, you know, the saving grace of anything. You
mm-hmm.
know? Don't you agree?
Yes, yes, exactly.
I mean, I feel like we were meant to meet.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in anything in life, where you are, like I love that when you said being centered and the atmosphere, that really like resonates with me, because I do believe that if you are in a toxic or, you know, a lot of what I've really learned too, and I don't know if this is just me, but when I'm in like at a concert or somewhere where there's tons of people in there, everybody's talking and there's so much going on, I get a little bit anxiety, like a little overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to just remove myself or just say, okay, it's okay, Jen. Like, this isn't where you need to be. Maybe you need to step out. But do you ever feel that there's places?
Yes, yes, definitely. And when it is, I'll go like to the bathroom or somewhere where it's quiet and I just pray kindness, God, to, you know, fix whatever's going on. Because sometimes there's something in the environment mm-hmm. that's making you feel uneasy. So I just start praying.
Right. I know. It's mm-hmm. so true that you just, you know, you find yourself, you got to know who you are. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know as a woman when you are in the midst of doing all that craziness and, you know, wherever your life is putting you, to sit back and say, oh, you know what? I got to find me. Mm-hmm. I feel like COVID, don't you think? I feel like COVID has really, we have found ourselves. Mm-hmm. I know it was a horrible, you know, the pandemic. It was just, you know, a lot of people, you know, died and it was horrible for mm-hmm. a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But there are some of us that came out of it thinking, okay, wait a minute, I got to start my life. I don't know what I was doing back then.
Yeah, I got my assignment during COVID. I really, really understood why I had to sit still for 3 months because I was so busy doing running and working mm-hmm. and running. He had to sit me still to talk to me, to tell me it's time to shift. It's time to pivot. It's time for a different thing to go on in your life. And just trust me along the way.
Right.
He said, I'm showing you what's going to happen. And he said, and as you move, I'll show you the next level. He said, and stuff is going to happen along the way, but right. trust me.
I know. And mm-hmm. that's the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. Because when you're busy, 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 and then all of a sudden it's like, what just happened to my life? Mm-hmm. You got to sit back and realize like, okay, you know, we didn't know that everything was going to just be fine.
Nobody knew.
Nope. We didn't know how long this was going to last or what, you know, and our humanity as people, we're so afraid to talk to people. Mm-hmm. Hug people, you know, that was hard for me because I was like, people were so standoffish. Like they didn't want to get near you. Mm-hmm. That was so hard.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You and I are both people person. No, wait.
Yeah.
People. I can't get it.
People persons. We have to talk to people and yeah. hug and touch. That's me. Yeah. I'm a hugger and I want to make sure you're okay.
Yes.
I always want to make sure people are okay.
There's got to be more people like us out there, you know, and I'm sure there are. But what you're doing, I mean, you know, tell me a little bit about are you going to start this book or are you going to wait a little bit? Or
I did start it prior to COVID. I had started my first chapter, but now I have to finish it. And I found out through meeting with the authors, it does not have to be a thick book. So that was my issue.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay. Because I kept saying, do it have to be this thick? They were like, no, it could be this thick.
Because your story doesn't have to be, you know, it could be short and sweet.
And that's what they told me. Yeah. So that helped me get over that hurdle of, oh, I have to write all of this. But then I found along the way, Google helps, Amazon helps. Like you could be a self-publisher. So I found a lot of stuff from a lot of people along the way that'll help me
right
to the next step.
Yeah, so that's your next step.
That's my next step.
Okay. And is there anything else like along the way that like any events or anything that, you know, you should tell like some of the people out there listening that, hey, you should join this or you should go to this because this is where I found a lot of salvation and I found my prayer. Is there anything like what you want to say?
I just came back from the summit. So that was one of the biggest events. We'll be hosting classes and all that. So if you contact me, I can share with you more in detail about some of the classes. That I'll be teaching, that'll be coming up soon. Let me think, no other conferences that's coming to my mind right now. I know I was supposed to go to a leadership conference, but I have some other things yeah. in the travel industry that's coming up that I have to attend.
I love that. And so like the message for other women out there that maybe are stuck or they're at a roadblock in their life and they're feeling like, what is my calling? You know, oh my gosh, Tawanda found her calling and Jenny D found hers. Like, what about me? I mean, how do we try to help other women out there to know, guess what? Put yourself first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like what would you say?
I say, like you just said, put yourself first. Trust your intuition. Mm-hmm. Sit still and just meditate. Just meditate. Open up the Word of God and just meditate. Find a scripture. My favorite scripture is Psalms 27. I learned that scripture at 19, word for word. I memorized it because I needed to have one scripture. If anything started to disrupt me, I'd go in and just say that scripture to myself. And that gives me the peace and it lets me know, okay, he's here. He's going to help me. He's going to guide me and give me direction.
Yeah, see, that's what you found. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of us that something hits us or something like we, you know, said, I knew that I was living everybody else's life. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret staying at home and raising my kids because I love them to death. But I knew that there was another calling for me. So I love how you found your calling. And it's just, but it's not your only thing. There's other times you're going to find other callings, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you're going to find other things. Oh, wait, I'm meant to do this.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You amaze me.
Oh, thank you.
You inspire me because I feel like when I met you and I just, you know, I looked at you and I thought the smile on her beautiful face, look at her beautiful face. When she smiles, she lights up the room. And you want to know her. You want to be friends with her because you're like, you know what? This woman, she could be in the worst mood or have the worst day, but she is not. She's going to bring you joy. Mm-hmm. That's something, a quality that not a lot of people have. So I praise you so much.
Thank you.
You're so beautiful.
So are you.
I just appreciate you coming all this way to be on my podcast, to share your story, you know, with my listeners, because I feel that everybody has a story to share. And if they can help one person, then, you know, we're doing what we set out to do. So yeah. If there's anything else you'd like to say, beautiful.
I just want to say thank you so much for the invitation. I appreciate you. I know her schedule's so busy.
Oh, gosh.
So are you. Busy, but I appreciate you. I appreciate this space, this time, and I appreciate the listeners for listening and for tuning in. And she's an amazing Jenny D. You are absolutely amazing. The best is yet to come.
Oh, you're so sweet.
The best is yet to come.
I said, I wrote in my high school yearbook, my future goals. Mm-hmm. I want to be the next Oprah Winfrey. I'm waiting, Oprah. Hello. You know, come on. Give me some
love. The best is yet to come. The best is yet
to
come.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Spill with me, Jenny D. Take care.
Come spill with me. Come spill.